Nation's version of catchy, light pop tunes. You're listening to USA Radio News.
And now, a touching moment. Well, staying in touch with GEICO.
It was a warm summer day. I was just sitting on a porch watching a babbling brook roll by. Then, out of the blue, I got an update from my GEICO app saying my claim had been processed. I felt so connected.
USA Radio News.
Oh, I'm sitting right looking at the truck now. It's horrific. It's a large, truck trailer combination. The trailer's been knocked off the truck. The truck is smashed up, but sort of semi upright. The trailer is pretty close to demolished.
Republican Congressman Tom Cole setting the scene there as a train carrying members of Congress, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, to their legislative retreat in West Virginia was hit by a truck. That's according to multiple sources. We're hearing at least one person is dead and numerous other people have been injured as well. Congressman Cole continues to set the scene for what he's seeing.
Pretty stunning scene. Obviously, it looks like we've had a fatality with one of the drivers on the truck or one of the operators.
Also breaking, Representative Trey Gowdy announced today he will not seek re-election in 2018. This is USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-768-0158. 800-768-0158.
According to a CBS poll, 75% of Americans, that's 3 out of 4 people who watched President Donald Trump deliver his first State of the Union address, approved of the speech. Obviously, that means 25% disapproved. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher from California gives his thoughts on the speech.
The fact that he was able to offer very understandable, positive alternatives and messages that almost anybody would have stood up for most of them.
Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan says Republicans have no room to talk for how they treated President Obama.
That's interesting that the Republicans, after the way they treated President Obama, have any high ground to take on how we judge presidents, because they tried to annihilate his character from the time he got in office and never worked with him one time.
The Justice Department has said it will not pursue a case against Senator Robert Menendez and has filed a motion seeking a dismissal of the indictment against the New Jersey Democrat. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
And with a look at some of the major stories going on around the world today, here's USA Radio Network's UN correspondent Luke Vargas.
While most Americans weighed in on President Trump's State of the Union address as it happened, the world is now having its say. A top official in the Japanese cabinet said Wednesday the island nation appreciated Trump's strong words directed to North Korea. China had a very different take on Trump's remarks. A foreign ministry spokesperson condemned Trump's Cold War mentality when it came to global crises and his zero-sum ideology on issues such as trade. In his remarks, Trump described China as a rival that challenges America's interests, economy, and values, and he seemed to threaten further tariffs against China for stealing American intellectual property, saying the era of American economic surrender was over. And a new United Nations report has identified 22 American companies doing business in illegal Israeli settlements in the Palestinian West Bank. Those companies have yet to be named until the UN can contact each one individually. But that hasn't stopped the Israeli government from slamming the report. Israel's UN ambassador said Wednesday it was shameful the blacklist was published on the same day the UN is officially commemorating Holocaust remembrance. The United Nations Human Rights Council is tasked with documenting business activity in what's known as the occupied Palestinian territories. A total of 206 companies, the vast majority of them based in Israel, met those criteria in this year's review.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And good afternoon, folks. My name is Richard Scuderi, and our program is called Modern Design. We come to you live each Wednesday right here in downtown Flemington. Our topic today happens to be Fabric is Magic. And if you've been listening to my show these past 4 years, you know that we start on Sunday with our topic of the week. And if you go to my blog page, which is The Color Guru, G-U-R-U, at blogspot.com, you'll see that there'll be some pictures and good information on this page. We follow up with the radio show and then the television show. So a lot of things going on today. I am thrilled to have in studio my guest today. Her name is Marissa Pellegrini. I hope I pronounced that right. She is the photographer extraordinaire. She happens to be the person that photographed my most recent project, and that is, if you get a hold of Design New Jersey magazine, there's a section called Modern Matchup, and I'm lucky not only once but twice to have Marissa photograph my work. So good afternoon, Marissa. How are you?
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here as my guest. All right, we're going to take a little look at the weather, some other things, and then we'll get right into our show. Today's topic again, Fabric is Magic. Okay, let's take a look at the weather and what's going on with the weather. And the National Weather Service is telling me this afternoon we're going to have mostly cloudy skies. I think it looks very sunny, with a high of 31 degrees. Tonight it's going to be mostly cloudy with a low of 24. On Thursday, it's cloudy, then chance of showers with a high of 45. On Thursday night, rain showers likely, then snow likely with a low of 28. Not good. Friday looks like it's going to be a snow day. Of course, I have lots of things planned. Friday, 20% chance of slight snow with a high of 30. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 13. On Saturday, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day, but with a high only of 29. On Saturday night, there's a 40% chance of snow with a low of 26. And on Sunday, rain, snow, mostly likely with a high of 38 degrees. Well, again, my name is Richard Scuderi. Our program is called Modern Design. We meet here each Wednesday in studio, and we talk about all things related to design. Our topic today happens to be Fabric is Magic. I have now that with the magic of video, we're going to show you some of the fabrics. And Marissa and I are going to go through, you know, what has visual impact, which is very important when you're picking stuff, scale, color, all those things. So we're going to take a couple of commercial messages, and we'll be back with a terrific show today, Fabric is Magic. Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior decorator for the past 21 years. Don't make me older than I am. 21 years with two locations in New Jersey. My number one location is right here in the Ringo's Flemington area, and that's 176 Route 20231 in Ringo's, New Jersey. New store for me, so come check me out. I'm in with Flemington Fan and Lighting. Together we have over 6,000 square feet of space. Wonderful light fixtures, as well as furniture, accessories, pieces of art, candles, everything for your needs. Also, if you're up in northern New Jersey near the Short Hills Mall in beautiful downtown Maplewood Village, I have another design studio there with lots of furniture. And that address for Maven Hill Designs is 191B, like boy, Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey. We're open 6 days a week. And Taj, my lovely assistant Taj, is working there today. Would love to say hello to you, and I hope she's watching the show. She's going to be on in a couple of weeks. Well, our topic today happens to be fabric is magic, and I'm always looking for inspiration. You know, as you know, my job is to be one step ahead of everybody else with design. I'm always looking for the next wave. And for me, other than paint color, one of the things that I thrive on is looking at fabric. Fabric brings me inspiration. And if we're looking on screen and I see my guest today, Marissa, I see she's wearing a wonderful sort of a white, maybe not a white, but an off-white or a light gray geometric.
Yes.
So what I wanted to ask you, and one of the reasons I wanted you on this particular show today here at WHCR, is I wanted to talk about perception of fabric, perception of color, perception of pattern repeat. Now, you specialize. Well, why don't you talk a little bit about what your photography background is, and then we'll talk about the specifics of photographing a room and then photographing fabric. So why don't you tell us how you started with photography?
Well, I started, I guess it was 25 years ago, doing still life, and then went on to do work with interior designers.
Sure.
Photographing their interiors.
Was there a jump when you went from still lifes to interiors? Did you meet someone? I think
yes,
sometimes
I
we fall. I believe that there are no coincidences in life, and I think we fall into things because we're supposed to fall into them. So what was the leap of faith from photographing still life, which I still love still lifes, and to photographing for designers? Because it's quite, in a way it's the same, but in a way it's quite different.
I met an amazing designer named Anthony Antine. He's since passed, but he was. He said to me, "It's a big still life.
Right.
Interior is a big still life.
Sure.
Try photographing one of my projects." And I did, and I really enjoyed it. At the time, I was shooting film, large camera format. Now, everything's digital.
Right.
And the detail in digital is amazing. Working with computer programs, you can enhance color, you can enhance pattern, clarity. So there's a lot of latitude, whereas when we were shooting film, it was the film we picked that really made everything pop. So we really didn't have as much control as we do now.
You know, it's funny because I think, to me, photography is particularly, I mean, anybody theoretically can take a picture, but that's not very true. Not everybody can take a good picture. And one of the things that I think makes a good photographer is having an eye. And you clearly have an eye. I don't know if you had an art background, but you know, this is a piece of paper. So I take a look at this plain piece of paper, and I may perceive it one way, and you may perceive it another way. And I think your perception of this piece of paper is reflected in photography.
Well,
do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I understand, because what I feel like my mission is when I go in to photograph a project of yours or another designer, is I am there to document your project in a way that shows it in its best light.
Sure.
So while it is my photograph, it can't not represent your work.
Right.
In a really good light. I can't change the light. Because you pick fabrics for a reason, colors for a reason, lighting for a reason. I can't change those things. I can only enhance them with my lighting, with my photography.
Right. And wouldn't you say design in general? I say to people, design in general is a sense of balance. So if you go into a space as a designer, if you go into a space and the space is dark,
I would do things to make it light so you have a creation of balance. So once we complete that project, if somebody like you who's an expert goes in to photograph it, you're going to light it in a way that will make it look the best it can, but show a sense of balance.
Sense of balance and proportion is real important.
Right.
You know, sometimes I'll set up something and I'm not pleased with the proportion, so I will change it. You know, change my camera angle might be, it's a little different. And working with a designer, I can say, is this the way you want this room to look? And
sure.
We work together.
And one of the things that you did with me on both projects that we worked on is you kind of gave me a little bit of a sneak peek of what things were going to look like, which is always very good. I want to start by asking you a question, then we'll have to take some commercial breaks. But I wanted to ask you, is photographing a room more difficult than photographing a person? I say that only because, and I would think a lot of the work for some of your magazines, you always take a shot of the designer or the homeowner, as you did with us,
right,
with all the trepidations and all the things that go along with having your picture taken. Is it harder to shoot a room, or is it harder to shoot a physical person?
Well, the rooms don't talk back.
That's true. Or say, make me thinner.
Or
younger.
Relax. Most of the time, you know,
right,
you're not dealing with professional models.
Real people.
Real people,
right,
that you
right
need to relax. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I do that when I photograph the people.
But the question being, which is easier? So you think rooms are easier?
For me, yeah.
Okay. Because you maybe can manipulate. I don't want to put, I'm manipulating you. Can you manipulate a room a little bit more? Because it's something that's very staid, and you get to control it a little bit more, where a person is moving. And
person's so moving. Are they having a good day, bad day? Everyone's self-conscious about the way they look.
Right. Why is that? Why don't we just be nicer to ourselves?
That's
as
right.
I'm sitting here twisting and turning, because modern design's been on for 4 years, but we've only added video. This is our third week. So it's all new, and I'm learning how to sit and so on. But I guess there'll be a day that it's comfortable, and I say I don't care anymore. I think we're all kind of hard on ourselves, don't you?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go to a couple of commercial messages, and we'll be back with a lot more of modern design.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My guest today is Ms. Marissa Pellegrini. Am I saying that correctly?
You
sometimes
are.
I get blah, 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 off. And she's a fellow Paisan like I, so I can have a little leeway there. So having said that, our topic today is fabric is magic. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring Marissa's eyes and trained eyes in, because she specifically photographs rooms, is about fabric. And I think, you know, one of the reasons people hire me, Marissa, as a designer is they may know what they like, but they don't know how to put what they like together. And a lot of that has to do with what I said, that design is balance. And when you're bringing fabrics to a room, that's a layer. The first layer, basically, when you design a room, it's often a square or rectangular box. So within that box, you want to surround it with beautiful color. And then after that, then the secondary layers come in. And quickly approaching is often fabric, because we have fabric on the window treatments. We have fabric furniture. Those things sort of build
They work with or against the paint color, and they add an overall look to a space, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes.
A couple of things I want to talk to you about with our listeners, and then we're going to look at some fabrics, and I want to get your perception, that's why I brought things here, of how it would look on film, and just interesting to look at, as opposed to how it looks in person, and things to consider. I find with fabric and with wallpaper, people don't consider pattern repeat. Don't you think that's something that shows up on film?
Pattern repeat, yes. Sometimes they pick too small a pattern. You know, that gets a little bit more difficult to see detail, and depending on how big or the pieces that you're covering. Texture is always the hardest, and we deal with that in the computer sometimes, enhancing clarity.
So you have the ability now, because we're digital, so if you do a pattern that's difficult, you can sort of fix or balance that?
I can sometimes. Okay. I mean, there might be a little break. And if it's something that's really prominent,
sure,
I can fix some things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a designer will ask me, like, there was a little mistake over here. Can you fix it?
Right.
Sometimes I can, and I work really hard to do that.
I will tell a little bit of a little tale out of school, because I don't think it's such a bad thing. Years ago, I was speaking with Ren, the editor-in-chief of the magazine of Design New Jersey, and they were just about to do a photo shoot for an all-white room. Beautiful room, he said, beautiful room. But he was concerned about how it would visually appear, because perhaps on screen there might be a lack of depth.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to shoot something that was all-white?
No, that I haven't. Usually, if it is white, all-white, they're breaking it up with pattern in fabric. It might be white-on-white. But that in itself is also beautiful. And then it's my job to make it not look empty.
Right, which can very easily be done.
Oh, very easily. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes you just zoom into an area that gives you the dimension of the room, but not so much as it expands.
Sure. So I want to start with you with the first thing, because I very much trust your vision. I want to start with color. So when doing a room for somebody who's doing a room, from the eye, or from the camera's eye, or your eye as an artist, are there any colors that are come across abrasive or hard to work with? Do you have any colors in the spectrum when you go to shoot a room or look at a room that you find, this is a tough color on the eyes?
No, because it's not my choice. I mean, when I come into a room, it's already completed.
No, so I don't mean that you would change it. What
right.
I mean is there are colors that, there are probably colors that are more challenging than other colors to capture on film. Now, I will say this. To me, I do a lot of color consultation for painting.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past 5 years, the grays have become very
right.
popular. And I will tell you this. I love grays, but they're a very, very big challenge. Because gray is a combination of what? Black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Black is the complete absence of light, and white is the completion, the pure light. So when you mix those two together, especially on the lighter end of the gray spectrum, you pick up undertones. So you'll pick
right.
up lavender or green or things
warm,
that
cool.
Right.
Right.
So it's
right.
a different color. So I can honestly say for me, grays can be challenging, because people think with a gray they're getting a specific gray, and then they realize they don't have it. So,
well, the challenge for me, especially when we'll talk about grays, challenge
right.
for me is the lighting in the room. Is
okay.
it daylight? Is it lamp light? Because those are all have color temperature.
Sure.
Don't want to get too much in the weeds.
No, it's very interesting.
But
or at least to me it is.
What I do when I photograph a room at the end, when everything's still set up, I'll shoot a gray card, because gray will show any shift in color. So it's a neutral gray card. It's a photo gray card.
Isn't that interesting?
And then when I get it into the computer,
uh-huh.
I can read that gray card. And when I get my color values to be all neutral,
sure.
then the room photograph is as true as I can get it.
Wow! So that grayscale is sort of the litmus test for neutrality.
It was the same thing in film as it is in digital.
Amazing!
Yeah,
amazing. So I would say with the grays, paint as well as fabric.
Right.
So that's something that you have to be mindful of, especially if you're going to go gray on gray on gray.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to move on actually to the fabrics themselves, because I would imagine
you're shooting rooms, you're using bedspreads, you're using draperies. They're supplying you with things to shoot that have vast amounts of fabric, I would imagine. So I'm going to take some, I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to put them on camera. I'm going to look at some very specific fabrics and different types of fabrics and different applications. So the first couple of fabrics I'm going to show you are fabrics for upholstery. So they will be things that you would necessarily see in a large scale. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I'm going to put up is an upholstery weight fabric that has a sort of a very small scale pattern.
Right.
This often would be used on maybe a window seat, mm-hmm. on chairs, and then the perception in person, it might have some sort of a weave that you carry on film. So I'm going to hold this up, and we're still working on our program, so I hope I get it close enough. So this is the fabric I'm talking about. The background is sort of a light cream color, and in the body there's sort of a beautiful blue green. Now this year, all blues, whether it be navy, blue green, light blue, blue gray, robin's egg, blues are trending this year. I don't know if you've seen that in any of your projects.
Yes, yes, I have.
So this is the first fabric that we're talking about. So if someone said to me, Richard, I'm looking to recover my sofa, or I'm looking to do a window seat, and I want to use a fabric that will be durable but also look nice, and I present them with this particular fabric, this first fabric that we have here, which is an upholstery weight fabric with a very small scale, how does the camera read that, or how do you read that?
It'll read as smaller dots,
okay.
depending on how close I get to the actual piece. Sometimes it might more ray.
Okay.
But as I zoom in, that'll go away. And then when it prints in the magazine, it always looks really, really nice. Their printing is very, very fine, so it won't moray in the end.
Tell us, I think I understand what that means. What does that mean, moray? Does that mean it blends, or
it kind of gets a wavy look to it?
Sure.
That's not the true pattern of the fabric.
Right.
That happens a lot of times with like little, some like black and white kind of very tiny. That's not as tiny a print as I've seen in some things.
Now, I was told things like, and that I do have used, that white and black tweeds and herringbones sometimes create like a look of movement,
right.
in pictures.
That's the moraying.
That's effect. What moraying is.
Yeah, that effect. It's kind of, it looks a little like it's got movement to it.
Does the camera or the eye for somebody else, does your eye sort of, if you have a very tight or a very patterned small fabric, does the eye bring it all together?
It does, because it's usually not the only thing. It might be the base of, let's say it's a window seat, but there'll be other things.
Oh, other elements.
To distract the eye, a different
pattern,
a different color. So it breaks it up in your eye as well as in the photograph.
Sure. All right, I'm going to put the second fabric up, which I happen to have just used on a window seat myself, and it's a combination of blues and greens. And it's a durable upholstery weight fabric. And there's a variety. The first one was sort of very pure with a cream and blue. This has a lot of subtlety in colors. Do you think if you were photographing this, you'd be able to pick up the subtlety of the greens in the specific fabric?
You would, and it's got some texture, and that's, you'll see that also. You'll see the texture of the fabric. That's got a lot more texture than the other one.
Right, it has more texture, and there's more subtlety of color. So if I hold this up for our viewing audience, and I used to say listening audience, but now I say viewing audience, you look at this very pretty fabric, and you'll see that there are wonderful sort of teal blues, whites, soft grays, and then there's an undertone of green. Now, as a designer, what I like to do, when there's a fabric like this that has a subtlety of color, that's my jumping point. So I would look at this fabric, and I would take this and add this somewhere else as a solid light green. That's how your eye gets a sense of balance. It's sort of manipulative in a way,
right.
But what that does, it gives a sense of balance. So for my question to you, maybe there's not an answer to this question, is when you're photographing something like this, is there a way for your eye not to draw this all together as one big blob color and to pull the green out of this?
Well, when you're upholstering something, or you're using it on a window seat, like I said before, you're using it with other elements with it. You might have some piping, you might have a fringe or an accent fabric that might border it. You know what I'm saying, on the thickness. There's other things that you can complement that fabric with that would distract from just being a solid.
Sure. Now I'm going to show you something that I think might be a challenge. And the reason I say this is not just from the camera's eye, but also how people can live with things. A lot of people, I'm working with a lovely couple right now, and I'm doing a boutique-style jewelry store for them. They're changing their concept. And the wife, she's lovely, and she's just so afraid of pattern repeat or not being able to visualize. And I think that's a reason people pick interior designers, because they know what they like. They'll say, oh, this is beautiful, this is beautiful. But they're afraid in the scale and the proportion of the room, the balance might be off, or it's something they're not comfortable with visually. Now, one of the things that I hear is a challenge for people. Now I'm switching from fabrics that are upholstered fabrics to multi-purpose fabrics. And the fabric I'm going to show you next, and I'm going to start obviously with our guest, first for guests, is I'm going to show you this fabric. And this fabric is maybe challenging because it's both textured, it has subtle color, and then finally it has stripes.
Right.
And I hear that stripes are often a challenge in a space. Is that true or not necessarily true?
It can be. If it looks a little off, then stripes, they become very noticeable.
You mean if they're unbalanced stripes, or they're not,
right.
If
it's not straight, or
they're
something
not level.
Is not matching,
right.
and it becomes very glaring in photography. Digital is unforgiving.
So I'm going to hold this particular fabric up. This is a multi-purpose fabric, so it can be used for window treatments, it can be used for light application, for upholstery, perhaps for pillows and so on. It's not as heavy duty, so the look is a little bit lighter weave, but there's some other things going on here. So I'm going to ask you, because taste is subjective, do you find this an attractive, and you're not upsetting me if you're not, do you find this an attractive fabric or a distracting fabric?
Distracting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What elements make it distracting? Is it mostly because of the patterning? Is it mostly because of the color?
There's a pattern in there, but there's also a texture that's kind of woven through that, which it does break it up.
Right.
But like I said before, if the stripe is not perfectly set, it'll drive me crazy.
Right, and you'll see it, right?
Absolutely.
And also just doing a room, you'll see it. So something to keep in mind when you work with stripes is you have to make sure that they're certainly level and that what the pattern repeat on something like that is. So let me ask you a question while I have you in studio. If someone purchased this material and they were going to make a drape out of it, drapery panels, if we took the most prominent color here, which is sort of a dark bluish color, if you can see on film here, take a look at that. If we were able to create this color as a border completely around it, would that make it look more balanced from your eye?
Yes, and it makes it more finished.
Because it's sort of grounded, I guess.
Right. And it doesn't make the stripes so prominent that's the only thing that's on the window treatment. So when you border it, it actually distracts your eye a little bit.
Sure. All right, I'm going to give you some challenges today, which I don't mean
boy.
To do. I didn't tell her that we're going to do this, but it's kind of fun because you really have a trained artist eye, so I really very much appreciate it. So the next one is a fabric that I particularly like, and now we're adding the element of having metallic or the look of something that's slightly metallic. And I can't imagine that wouldn't be a challenge for people, both personally when picking a fabric, but also on film. So this is the next fabric I'm going to show you. There's sort of a metallic gold mixed in with a very intricate pattern. Now, what about something like this to shoot?
What's nice about a little bit of sheen is that it changes. So the light might be hitting one part of the fabric and not another. So it looks like a little shadow, or it makes the fabric look a little different. It gives it a little more interest.
Okay. So do you have to sort of manipulate the light to get that the way you want it to be, though, because
sometimes,
there's something going on there?
If that's the prominent piece, yes. I would have to light it. That's from my still life background. You know,
sure.
Lighting it so that it looks the way you want it. You're lighting that specifically.
So this particular fabric is sort of a dot, but there's also a stripe going on in the dot. We have a number of different colors in it, but there's a metallic or a sheen element to it. So something to keep in mind when you're picking fabrics. Absolutely. So now I'm going to do one more, and then we'll take a break. And these are ones that I just picked up for our show today, so I don't have big proportions of them. But let's do this one. So this one happens to be a geometric.
And this is yellow with white. Now, what I've learned about yellow, because I'm a colorist, and I do color theory, and I do color forecasting. I actually am privy. I do go to the Benjamin Moore and the Sherwin-Williams seminars, and when we're predicting color forecasting, I'm a part of that. So I'm always ahead of the game. I go to all their training and their seminars because I think that makes me a better designer. But what I've learned through the years about yellow is yellow carries from a distance more than other colors. One of the reasons that fire trucks often, the newer fire trucks are no longer red and they're yellow is they're easier to see from a distance. Mm-hmm. Now, you were at my home once after we did the last photo shoot, and I have a very long distance from the front of my property to the actual house. And I have, because there's deer where I live, I have two beautiful entry posts. And on the entry post are black urns, and then I have the ability to put whatever flower I want and the deer won't eat it. So I noticed after the first 5 years that when I put certain colors, they didn't carry from a distance. When I was in the garden center, I'm like, oh, this dark purple looks beautiful, my favorite color. Then I would put it up in a dark pot, and there was no contrast. It was like there was nothing there. Then one year, I don't know, the fall came, and an early fall, and I decided to do yellow mums. To put two yellow mums in, at the time they weren't, now I love them, but I didn't think yellow was my favorite color. I liked the rich autumnal tones. So I put two yellow in. I drove down my street and I'm like, wow, what a contrast. It's beautiful. It carries from a distance.
Yes.
When you photograph bright yellows, do you find that? Or what do you find when you're picking a bright yellow?
I'm not picking it, but I mean...
I'm picking it.
I love the bright rooms. I photographed rooms that were painted lacquer red, lacquer yellows, and... they're very dynamic,
sure.
But they're very particular. So, you know, you have to be able to live. That's a very strong color.
Right. And this is a very bright yellow. What I'm finding, and I talk about on Modern Design every week, and I wonder if you're finding this because you shoot rooms consistently, I'm finding the look has changed. Whereas the look in the past used to be very strong, rich paint color, and then materials, fabrics that followed suit with it and sort of blended. Now the look has changed. The backdrop tends to be neutral now. Grays, white or white trim. And then the pop comes from the fabric or the accessories.
Right.
So your look is very different. So I'm finding that stronger colors and fabrics have become dominant now, where people will have a pale gray room and then a bright caution yellow chair.
Right. We find that too, and it's something that it makes the photograph pop too.
Sure.
When we're photographing something that's just very monochromatic, to me that's very difficult. When you have something that pops, your eye goes right to it, and when you're designing a room,
right,
you're designing it with that in mind also.
I very much always look for the pop, and mm-hmm. even though the projects we shot were very different, the first project I did was more of a traditional style home that we put basically we rebuilt the house and then built out buildings and so on. We doubled the size of the space, and their aesthetic was very country. Their aesthetic was a very country aesthetic, and what I was hired as the designer to do is to bring that to be up to date and attractive, but to very much honor the wishes of the homeowner to keep a country kind of a look.
But there again, you use the color as pop.
We right.
did that nice, beautiful, rich blue dining room that
right.
went into the hallway, which was a little more neutral, into a living room that was that had another pop of color. So everything flowed really nicely. When we photographed those three rooms going
right.
from one to the other,
they were gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
No, but I would have to say that very much I was cognizant of the fact that when you're doing a room, and this is not just necessarily about photographing, but photographing is going to give you the absolute, you're going to get, you have the vision to look at a room and say this is pretty or this is uneventful.
Right.
And to me, having a pop really does it. So for me, my pop in the first project that we did with the Hindles, a lovely family in Flemington, the pop was that continuity, that blue. In fact, when I
When I met with Kathy Hindle, she hired me just to do a paint color consultation, believe it or not, for dining room color, and she had a white background wallpaper with flowers on it. And I said, we're going to take down the wallpaper, and I'm going to paint your dining room dark navy blue. Well, I thought she was going to pass out. She goes, dark navy blue in a dining room?
It scares people, yes.
It will be too dark. We'll have a dark navy blue dining room, and it'll be very much too dark. So I said, no, trust me. I promise I'll paint it back if you don't like it. And we did it, and it started to go up, and I thought she was going to say, take it down. But she was very good, and she said, okay, I'm going to give it a chance. And we did it, and it was transformative. Mm-hmm. It took her same square footage, her same space, actually her same dining table, and it recreated the room. And then based upon that beautiful surround, I was able to take the rest of the furnishings, the fabrics, the artwork, and so on, the accessories, and I put in that like a pop of a really rich citrus green in there, if you remember, on the table with the grasses and the other things that we did and the prints and so on, and it came to life because of that. So again, design is a sense of balance, and it's also about bringing in the right pop colors, and fabric can be a good sounding board for those pop colors. All right, we're going to go to a news today, but we're going to do a quick news because we have a lot to talk about. So I'm going to do a quick news, and we'll be back with more of Modern Design.
USA Radio News.
I was near the window. I looked out and saw the truck. It had just been smashed. The garbage truck, the garbage, the back portion had been separated from the cab.
Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, as a train carrying GOP lawmakers hits a truck and at least one person is killed and another seriously injured. The chartered train was carrying dozens of lawmakers, including Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, to a Republican policy retreat in Western Virginia. Reaction continues from President Donald Trump's first State of the Union address. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia shares his perspective on what he heard from the president.
I, out of respect and civility, I showed the respect for the president. A lot of the things he said, I liked.
In breaking news, South Carolina Republican Trey Gowdy has said he will not seek re-election in 2018. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyn-Root. Let's talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends at Purity Products. I take it, and I love it, because it combines ultra-pure fish oil for your heart and krill oil for your joints together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote your cardiovascular health in ways your doctor will love. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just 7 days. So you will feel better, guaranteed. Purity is so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, they want to send you a free bottle to put it to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil, it's both, and now it's free. Just pay a little shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now, 1-800-399-6392. That's 800-399-6392. Call now, 800-399-6392.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, a home stager, and a contractor for the past 21 years. I started when I was very young. You know, I could get away with that before when it was radio. Now, not so much. Anyway, our topic today happens to be fabric is magic. I have Marissa Pellegrini here. She is a photographer extraordinaire specializing specifically in photographing lovely rooms. I had the pleasure of having her be my specific photographer and shooting two of the projects that I had done for Design New Jersey magazine. So we're talking about the first project, which was more of a traditional home, and the pops weren't the same pop throughout, but they were a pop that carried the colors related. And even though they were different colors, they worked well together. The reason I bring that up is I want to talk about the project that's in this month's, in the February-March issue of Design New Jersey magazine, and that is a contemporary house. Now, in the contemporary house, we went all gray. We had a monochromatic palette of all grays, but I felt I wanted to have a very strong pop color. And with the grays, there are certain colors that work very well as pop colors. One of them happens to be yellow, and if you take a look at the fabric that I have up here, it's a combination of geometric with both yellow and gray. Yellow and gray, I think, have a nice natural synergy. In fact, I think that would be a great color on you. I don't know if you wear yellow, but yellow and gray have a beautiful, if you see people that have wonderful silver over here like you do, and they put on, you know, a yellow top or what have you. It's very striking, I think, together and rich. Citrus green is one of my favorite. These are not exactly citrus, but it was one of my favorite pops when you're doing grays. Also black and white. I like black and white kitchens with a pop of citrus green. It's a nice green. Red can be a good pop with gray. It works very well together. Cobalt blue and gray are a very good pop together. But in this particular incident, my client loves orange. Orange was her favorite color. So we wound up painting her a house of charcoal gray with crisp white trim and then a pop of orange at the front door. And it was so far back from the road, it really worked. It drew your eye to the front door. We followed suit with the garage doors, which I custom designed that worked with that orange. Mostly a gray house all the way around with neutrality, very simple because it was contemporary, but those two pops made a difference. And what we did on this house on the inside was I carried the single neutrality throughout, but then the same pop throughout. And I'm thinking from a design standpoint or a shooting standpoint, what was that like to have that follow that orange around the rooms?
Oh, it was, it actually had a beautiful color story. But when you have something that's as neutral as that was,
right,
your textures were so important.
Right,
the
right.
Mixture of leathers and maybe that faux fur rug or whatever made those neutrals just really not be boring,
mm-hmm.
gave a lot of interest.
Do you ever go into a room and take something out of the room because it's taking away from the look of what you're shooting? See, my goal as an interior designer, our goal, I think, is to give people the most, work with their needs, mm-hmm. but give them the most beautiful room we can give them. And some of that is just like when a woman puts on too much jewelry, taking two or three of the pieces off so you appreciate the beauty. Do you ever go into a space and say, let's take this out of the space?
With consultation with the designer, yes, or we'll move it so that it might be not as prominent. I don't remove anything without consultation. Or sometimes the designers say, you know what, that's not that as important, you can remove it. It's rare because when you design a room, you design it very balanced.
Right. It's all about balance, as you said.
Right. Sometimes it's just moving something closer or further away that helps keep that piece in. But always, I've never really removed something. I might just move it to a different location.
Or also maybe not make it the focus of the shot,
right.
I would think.
Exactly.
Okay. So we did the yellow, so I'm going to let that go. And I want to go on to blue. And I'm going to show just sort of a very denim-y looking blue, which I just used recently in a boy's room. And very simple and kind of nice, kind of linen-y looking blue, like a chambray blue looking thing. Now, I'm going to give my perspective on blue in general and then blue as a fabric color. I always equate this to being, you know, in the 1970s when you would have your picture taken in grammar school and your backdrop was always blue. I remember going to school and then you could be African-American, you could be Asian, you could be white. Everybody looked beautiful because the backdrop was blue. Now, right now, blue is very, very popular. I read a story the other day about they're calling blue now the new neutral. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, as much as gray has been with us for a while and it's not going to go anywhere, people are always looking for change and inspiration. When you think about that, we don't think of blue as a neutral per se. We think it as a very specific color choice. But when you think about it, blue really looks good with everything.
It looks good with everything. There's also so many shades and hues of blue.
Right.
It's also almost as difficult to photograph as gray because there are so many shifts. Sometimes the blue, when you photograph it, could look brighter,
right,
than the actual piece.
Sure. But I would say in general, I think the using blue, which I didn't always do, I really was more into the jewel tones for a number of years. But I've come to really love blue specifically for my fabrics because blue is a cool, but it creates sort of a warmth at the same time. Does that kind of make sense?
It gives you a good background to put other pop colors with it.
Right.
I mean, it goes with almost everything.
But in a way, even though it's also a cool color, I think it's perceived as being warmer than gray.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I don't know about warmer, but
it has depth, I think,
to it. It has more depth.
It has more depth to it. So a fabric like this, per se, which I thought was very comforting in the room that was in, which was a young boy's bedroom, in a linen-y sort of a look. Would you be able to capture the texture of the linen on film, or not necessarily, just the beauty of the color?
Depending on how small the piece is. Like, if it's a small pillow, it'd be kind of difficult. But
these were drapery panels.
You will be able to see some variation.
Right.
And you'll see there's a little bit of sheen to that fabric, too.
Right.
So it'll give you that nice little bit of texture
folds. Let's change it up, because we can't make it easy on modern design. Now I'm going to talk about, I'm doing dining room chairs right now. And this is also a similar blue, but it happens to be a geometric pattern. Mm-hmm. What do you think of something like this? Good to the eye, distracting. You have to worry about pattern repeat. What would you say?
I love it. I think it would be a fabulous upholstery for a dining room. Seat, back, whatever. I think it's really interesting to the eye.
I want to talk about sheen, because, you know, things are very cyclical. And in the late 80s and the early 90s, and probably up to the maybe 2000 or so, sheen was very in style. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the late 80s, what was the fabric that everybody used? It was that, like, moires that you talked about, and chintz, right?
Sheen.
Oh, everything had sheen. So when you looked at those rooms, they looked very polished and very shiny and very formal. But life has changed, and I think people live a little bit more casually now. So the fabrics to me seem to be much more matte. Are you seeing that when you photograph?
They're matte, but when they have a sheen, it's not so bright a sheen. It's got a little sophistication to it. It's got a little depth. It might be just like almost like an eggshell finish kind of thing, instead of being like a laminated fabric.
Sure.
So, and if they do use a fabric with sheen, it's usually a small piece.
Right.
Instead of a whole armchair.
Right, something. Exactly. So again, if I hold up for our a viewing audience this geometric, what I personally like about this is it is, yes, it's a geometric, but because there's sort of a curve to the geometric, it doesn't seem as harsh to me.
Right.
And I think not only does it, the pattern repeat works well, it's I don't know, it's just cohesive. It feels pleasing to the eye, I think.
And it's a nice creamy white that they did the embroidery in, which
right.
is really, really nice.
Do you find that it being soft as the second color is better visually, or having contrast is better visually?
Depends on the room.
That's true. That's kind of tough.
That's really hard, because it's really what you're going for. And I love contrast. Photographers are going to love contrast, because it makes the eye. But sometimes contrast can make things distracting. So it's really what the designer is going for in the room.
And also very much you know how I know that you're a good photographer? Because you have the philosophy that really good designers have, and that is you're there to act as a catalyst to bring out the designer's vision. I'm there to be a catalyst to bring out the homeowner's vision. That's why you're so good at what you do, I think.
You.
I'm going to do one or two more, and then I want to talk a little bit about your business. We're getting to the end of the hour, and I want to make sure I get that in. So this one's kind of tricky. This is an iCat fabric, which is sort of, I consider, a modern version of paisley, if you will. And this is a gray, but yet it has a pop within that. Mm-hmm. Now, for purposes of shooting or your own eye, do you find this good or distracting?
Depends on what they're using it on. I mean, I see that in a chair that might have some wood elements to it that has like a back cushion or a seat cushion.
I'm using this in two wing chairs that mm-hmm. someone inherited, but they have a very traditional fabric. So this is a multi-purpose fabric that I'm using. I'm going to put a real contemporary, modern sort of blue-green kidney pillow on it mm-hmm. with some sheen. This is the fabric. So shooting something where most of the background is neutral with a pop within it is another way to go. One of the things that you want to consider, though, when doing a fabric like this is, even if to pay for it, getting a bigger sample of the fabric so you can see pattern repeat to see if you can live it. I can't tell you how many people have taken a little sample of fabric and said, oh, I love it, and then get it, and then it's done. They go, oh, I hate it.
Right.
Because I don't think people can visualize. I would think, because this is what you do for a living, you're pretty good at visualizing.
Yes, I like to think I am.
We have one last fabric I'm going to do, and then we'll finish up on fabrics, and I want to talk a little bit about your art eye and making a room beautiful. And this is my last one. This reminds me of a Tebow fabric, and I think it may be because Tebow has fabrics now, the wallpaper company. This is the last fabric. This is also a little, these happen to be armless little chairs that I'm doing in a living room, going from pinks to blues, believe it or not, 80s pink.
Wow.
And we're bringing blues in, very traditional. Is something like this difficult? I brought a number of pieces so you can see that there's a lot of patterning to
it. I think that's fun. That can be really fun. Because you said it's a small, small armless chair, which can be kind of fun, not overwhelming.
No, and there's nothing else going on in the space in those chairs except the two chairs that are
so
all
of
this.
So it's such a focal point.
Exactly. So I do want to talk, we have about 3 minutes remaining, believe it or not, but I want to talk a little bit about design in general and bringing a room together and what you like and you don't like. You know, and it's all, you know, design is all about perception and everybody's taste is a little bit different. One of the things that I think I get, and I don't know, I bet you this happens to you too, is that I have a range and my range has broadened as I've gotten older and done this for more of a time. Do you ever go into shoot a space and something that you probably wouldn't have liked when you see it presented by a designer that you like it, you get a new respect for it?
I always have a respect for a designer because the designers I work for, everyone is different. Mm-hmm. And their clients are different.
Sure.
So, I like it because when I go into it, everything is diverse. Every project I do is diverse and it's not all the same. So
sure.
I find a new respect for something. It's not something that I say, well, okay, this is not my taste, but wow, look how this comes together.
Have you ever sort of changed your taste or your vision a little bit after you've seen somebody's room and it changed your taste? I will tell you, for me, with the Mancilla project, with the contemporary, now you've been to my house, I have a big, very traditional, clabbered, yellow and white and black, classic colonial home. And I've had it that way for a while. But after I did the Mancilla project, even though I very much appreciate traditional, and it's always been my personal core, I began to get such an attraction to a cleaner line that I've, since you've been to the house, made big changes. And I didn't, which I hate when designers do this, I didn't ignore the architecture. I just made it more, I went from what most people are doing that work with me is I went from traditional to transitional. And I found that it made, even with traditional, which should be always timeless, some of the pieces were starting to look old because they were so traditional.
Right.
Do you find that you see that? I bet you're not photographing a lot of traditional anymore as much.
Not as much. More transitional. Mm-hmm. People are going more into modern. They're going back into modern. Mid-century is huge again.
Oh my God, mid-century is big.
Huge, and the coloring in mid-century is back.
Sure,
we're seeing more of that. Although it's, the magazines want more of those projects. They just don't come up as much.
Sure.
It depends on the area where people are living. I mean, I photographed a really, really modern house, and you're dealing then in expanse. Because it's very simple, and that's really difficult to make everything look proportionally right when you're dealing with a big expanse with smaller furniture. It's like, how do you make that look good? And it's all about camera angles and making things look proportional.
And then, Marissa, if somebody was looking to have you shoot their home, perhaps for something that they're working on for a magazine piece, or even use you specifically, as you're so talented, for maybe selling their home, how could they get in touch with you?
I have a website.
Okay, and that is?
www.marissapellegrini.com.
Wonderful.
And all my contact information is on there.
I thank you so much. You brought so much insight, you know, a real trained artist eye into looking at fabrics today, and you're wonderful. I definitely will have you back again if you'd like to come on.
My pleasure. Stimulating.
Terrific. Okay, so for my listeners, my viewers, right? Hard to say viewers. We're having wonderful shows in store, great things that are happening. My next week guest, which I booked today, is Stephen Taylor of Stephen Taylor Photography. But what he does specifically is portrait art and using portrait art to decorate your home. So he's going to bring in a wonderful portraits that he's done of all different things. People are photographing, are taking pictures of their animals, and then they want to make them art. And that's one of the things that he does. He does portrait photography, and that can be quite beautiful. So we'll have him on as guest next week. So everybody have a wonderful week. Stay warm, and we'll see you with more of Modern Design next week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our show and watching it. More things to come in the future. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News.
I was near the window. I looked out and saw the truck. It had just been smashed, the garbage truck, the the back portion has been separated from the cab.
Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, as a train carrying GOP lawmakers hits a truck and at least one person is killed and another seriously injured. The chartered train was carrying dozens of lawmakers, including Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, to a Republican policy retreat in Western Virginia. Reaction continues from President Donald Trump's first State of the Union address. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia shares his perspective on what he heard from the president.
I, out of respect and civility, I showed the respect for the president. A lot of the things he said, I liked.
And breaking news, South Carolina Republican Trey Gowdy has said he will not seek re-election in 2018. This is USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today.